Hello, my name is Lisa Elvin Stoltore, and this is my channel, How Roots Will Travel. I am a genealogist and a passionate traveler. Over the last year, we have been doing a project, really it's become a project, called L'Enfant du Roi, and we are exploring every single one of the king's daughters who came to New France and became essentially the founding mothers of North America. And it started off just me doing my own fille du roi, and it's turned into a project, which I love. And so we will be continuing this exploration. We are now on, I think, episode number 77, and there are hundreds to go. So bear with me as we go through and we explore each and every one. Now, I want to let you know, if you have a fille du roi that you would like me to cover, please, please put her down in the comments below and I will get to her. You can also email me at Lisa@haverootswilltravel.com. That's my website. And I also have a Facebook group that you can absolutely, a Facebook page, I should say, that you can, you know, send me a message on as well. So with that, let's get started. Oh, and don't forget to subscribe if you like it, and click on that notifications alert so you get my notice when I post new content, which is about twice a week, maybe more in the future, but for right now, it's twice a week. So the Fille du Roi was a program begun in 1663 by the Intendant Jean Talon. I produced a video called Le Fille du Roi, the program 2.0. Please have a look at that so that will give you an idea of the ins and outs of the program and what your ancestor had to go through. So with that, let's turn our attention to the fille du roi of this episode. And her name is Jeanne Barbaroux, and she is a viewer request. And I looked in my files and there is the boy next door. So this is also his great grandmother. So let's have a look and find out who Jeanne was and what her story is all about. So she was born about 1638 in a place called Île de Ré, which is an island off the coast of La Rochelle. It dates from the 7th and 8th century. Throughout its history, it's been ruled by both France and England. It's also been part of the Huguenot conflicts of France. Today, the population is about 17,000. A bridge was built in 1987 connecting it to the mainland. Can you imagine what that must have been like? As you can imagine, it's a major tourist attraction, and there are an incredible amount of historical monuments to visit. When I looked at the pictures, it truly was a slice of paradise. Her parents are unknown, so we don't know. We know that she was born about 1638. Then would embark upon on a ship in La Rochelle, which, as you know, is very close to where she was, when she was 28. We do not know anything else about her parents and what motivated her. We just know that she got on that boat in 1666. So the groom that she selects and who selects her, his name was Jean Arrivé, or L'Arrivé, and he was born in 1622 in a little town called Luçon. And it is a southern, it was in the region, our department of Poitou, which is now Vendée. It's actually best known for its cathedral that exists today. Let's give you a little bit of a history of Luçon. And it was actually once a Norman town. Luçon takes its name from the Latin word for the northern pike, a fish, that decorates the coat of arms to this day. The town had an important position on the Roman road from Les Sables d'Olonne to Niort, and this was a seaport in the Roman period. During the Dark Ages, a monastery was founded here by Saint Chilbert. The town was sacked by the Normans in, can you imagine, in 845 and plundered by the Vikings in 853. Not a lucky place to live. In the Middle Ages, the receding seas left Luçon inland, but a canal allowed it to maintain a port connected to the Atlantic. The town would maintain an important commercial center throughout this period. Luçon became the spiritual capital of Poitou in 1317 when Pope John XXII located the seat of the Diocese of Luçon here. Today, the town is perhaps most famous for its association with Armand Jean de Plessis, Cardinal Richelieu. Before becoming a minister of Louis VIII, Richelieu was the bishop of Luçon. During his tenure, he directed the rebuilding of much of the town after it was destroyed again during the French Wars of Religion. This included restoring the magnificent Cathedral of Notre Dame, which can be seen here. And there was also within the cathedral that you can also find a church organ, which was donated by Napoleon III. And there's a statue of Richelieu, which stands outside. And in the 18th and 19th century, the town was refurbished in kind of a medieval style. Many of the most remarkable buildings, including those in the Quartier Bourgneuf, were constructed at this time. The elegant town park, the Jardin du Maine, was donated to the inhabitants by the local doctor, Pierre Hyacinthe du Maine, in 1872. It currently has a population of about 10,000 people. So it's got lots and lots and lots of history if this is your ancestry. So Jeanne and Jean, don't you just love it, were married on the Isle d'Orléans in the parish of Saint-Famille sometime in 1667. Don't have a record. I'm certain they were married, but there is no record of their actual marriage. Those of you who are familiar with the program know how often we come back to this beautiful island. Isle d'Orléans is located on the St. Lawrence River, about 3 miles east of downtown Quebec City. The island was one of the first parts of the province to be colonized by the French, and a large percentage of French Canadians can trace their ancestry to the early residents of this island. The island has actually been described as a microcosm of traditional Quebec and the birthplace of Francophones in North America. Officials later changed the name to Isle d'Orléans in honor of the second son of King Francis I, who was Henri II, Duke of Orléans. This island was known as, in many times, and I tell you this while you're doing your research, Grande Isle, Sainte-Marie, and Saint-Laurent for certain periods in the 17th and 18th centuries. So this is where they, you know, established themselves. And one of the things I want to draw your attention to is that we have a 1667 census of Jean Arrivé and Jeanne Barbereau. And we have Jean-Baptiste, who is 15 days old, and they currently have 7 arpents en valeur, which is about 4 to 5 acres of land. Then we have the 1681, so they stayed there. Jean Arrivé was then 55 years old. Jeanne was now listed as 43, and their children, Jean, Jeanne, Pierre, Louis, Paul, Joseph, they have 4 bétacons, which is 4 goats, and 15 arpents, so they doubled their land holdings in about a decade. So that bespeaks very well for them. You will recall, Jeanne was 28 years old, maybe 29 when she was married. So the fact that they had as many children, 6, as they did, is a remarkable achievement. So Jean-Baptiste, their firstborn, would marry Jeanne Poiré and would have 9 children, 7 of whom would make it to adulthood. Jeanne would marry Jean Dumais and have 8 children, 7 of whom would make it to adulthood. Pierre would die in infancy. Louis would also die in infancy. Paul would die at 15 years of age. And Joseph, their last child, would marry Louise Leroux and have 2 children, both of whom made it to adulthood. So very small descendancy. Let's have a look. Jean would pass away on February 7, 1707. He was 85 years old. Remarkable, remarkable achievement. They would have been married 41 years despite the late start. Jeanne would die on the 22nd of May, 1713, a little bit later. She would die at 75. Again, a remarkable age for a woman of that time. They would have a small amount of descendants by 1729, only 29. But again, it's not where you start, it's where you finish. And my viewer and the boy next door both can lay claim to the fact that their lines have survived. Before I let you go, for further research, please check out La Société des Filles du Roi, which is a society that has been around since 1994, and has lots and lots of resources, even if you're not a member. But of course, I would encourage you. I am a member, and I'm also the membership chairperson. So I would definitely urge you to check it out and see if that's something you would be interested in joining. They have a fabulous journal that is produced twice a year as well, and lots of information on the website that you can access as a member. Les Filles du Roi Descendants is a Facebook group that has currently over 5,000 members. Fabulous website for connecting and seeing your cousins and all that good stuff. And then we have a website that I love called Migration. And again, it's a labor of love for the people involved. Every time I go on this website, which is often, I get lost in the details. It's one of the best I've ever seen in terms of content. So check that out. I have posted the links for you as well. So with that, we end our study of Jeanne Barbaroux and her husband, Jean. And I just think it's fascinating that no matter, you know, we have this picture in our heads that it's an 18-year-old or a 19-year-old. Here we have much older couple. He was significantly older than her, about 16 or 17 years older, and still they made a descendancy. They made a contribution to New France, and we are still, there are still descendants today based on this couple who got a late start, but obviously that start survived. So we thank them for their contribution, and we will see you on the next video. Until then, au revoir.